a button here.
Okay.
Pull this over.
Right here?
Yep.
And I hit the red button?
It's recording already.
Oh, it is.
As we speak.
Whoa. Had I known that, I'd have been much more careful.
Well, what is it? Today is November 29, 2006 at 2:15 p.m. And we're here discussing the future of the CCTI program. Oh, actually, I have to do a paper for my church history course. And I'm doing it on the Caribbean Christian Training Institute. I think I got that correctly.
And sounds good to me.
Some questions here that I would like to ask concerning that the CCTI program. First of all, in your opinion, what is the CCTI? What does it mean and what does it stand for?
It's the Caribbean Christian Training Institute, which is a program that is headquartered at St. John's Antigua that has as its purpose training men and women for positions of gospel ministry for congregations in the English-speaking Caribbean, which at the moment is Antigua, Grenada, and St. Lucia.
Okay. Are there any plans in the future to go to different islands to extend from those three islands?
Definitely. Where outreach in the Caribbean needs to go next is something that we talk about a lot down there. One idea is expanding within existing islands, for example, opening something else in another part of Antigua.
Okay.
But other places that are mentioned sometimes are Trinidad, Guyana sometimes. Guyana, you know, has a pretty strong Lutheran presence already. But where is going to be the next place is something that does come up once in a while.
Okay. But we'll focus on those three islands for now, Antigua, St. Lucia, and Grenada.
I guess we didn't think of picking the next place is so much the CCTI's responsibility. Okay. When we would talk about it, we always said this is a decision really that the national church needs to make. So we're looking for people, you know, in the existing congregations or in congregations that have, you know, congregations in the States or Canada that have West Indians there to provide us with information and contacts and ideas about where it should be next. You probably heard this, that there was some young lady from Toronto, who has family in Trinidad, and so Eric Landwehr made a exploratory visit to Trinidad after she moved back down there to check things out there.
Oh,
so that kind of stuff is going on, but that's not directly CCTI, I guess.
Okay. And do you recall who came up with this idea for the Caribbean to have its own training institution?
The first time I ever heard about CCTI was when I was still in Brazil, and this was when I took a summer quarter class in missiology that was taught by Dr. Ernie Wendland, and Mark Henrich was one of the students in the class, and he was at St. John's at the time. One of the assignments for the course was we all had to do a case study on cross-cultural communication where we were, so I did one on Campinas in Brazil, and he presented one on the idea for the CCTI and where the idea had really come from and his efforts to get the church council in at St. John's on board. As I recall, you ask him about this, they had a discussion about this initially where people showed a lot of enthusiasm, but immediately the discussion shifted to the palm trees outside the church and the sharp pointy leaves that fall off and the children are going to hurt themselves when they run around and step on those things. And I remember Mark expressing a lot of frustration that we couldn't stick to the topic. Ask him about
so
that.
The people are more interested about the palm trees.
Well, you know, church council there goes sometimes. The things that really get people energized are property maintenance issues. You know, what color should we paint the bathroom and stuff like that. But that's the first time I ever heard of CCTI. Then I heard about it some more when I was at MLC. Because I don't know if you knew this. I don't know if I ever told you this. I should have. I was chairman at MLC of a committee that was known as the Committee on Service and Experiential Learning, which has now become, it's merged with the Committee on Issues of Diversity. but back then it was a separate committee. Mm-hmm. And our committee fielded a request from St. John's to do a service project for you while you were over the summer, I guess, back in Antigua, mm-hmm. so that you could help with outreach down there and also maybe make some money that would enable you to come back to MLC in the fall. And so Mark, you know, I knew Mark from school and everything, and he called me up and we talked about this on the phone, and I asked, you know, in my innocence, the question, well, if Jason's being trained for ministry, and if at least in some people's minds the dream is that he would be able to serve back in the Caribbean, mm-hmm. why isn't he being trained in the Caribbean? And I guess it came up in that connection too.
Yeah, I remember having that opportunity to go back. It was three summers in a row. Thinking it's from 2001, 2002, 2003.
Sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, able to go back down there and help out as a senior assistant or a pastoral assistant. Mm-hmm. And that was a good opportunity. Went down, first summer I was down in, St. Lucia. Went there for a while. Actually, no, Grenada for 4 weeks. And then St. Lucia was unable to have me. But then the next summer, went down to St. Lucia for about 5 weeks and did some work down there. And so, I remember things quite clearly.
And I guess having come from world missions, to me, this always seemed like a natural, that nationals ideally train them for ministry on-site. And doesn't mean that getting training elsewhere can't be a real blessing, too, on both ends.
Yeah. And so what would you say your role was in the CCTI program?
Now, the way I understood it, and again, Pastor Henrich knows a lot of this history, and Pastor Kale, too. The way I understood it, Pastor Kale kind of was a big impetus behind the program initially, and then of course he took a call and left. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of became Pastor Henrich's responsibility, and then Pastor Sternhagen came. Mm-hmm. But long about this time, Pastor Henrich left, and so CCTI kind of stalled, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And also because, now you can ask him how he feels about this, but Pastor Henrich kind of, I think he sees himself as very much a parish pastor, more than a trainer and equipper, although he's certainly gifted to do the other two. And so the idea at the time I was called, I guess, was to call a teacher, trainer, equipper type. And so I saw my role when I first got there as doing a complete needs assessment, finding out, you know, I knew what the District Mission Board and the Caribbean Committee's goals for this thing were, but I wanted to know what the congregation's goals were and what the community's goals were for this thing. So I did a needs assessment first and talked to as many people as I could find, and then I reshaped the curriculum and everything based on what I learned.
So what would you say the needs of the people were? What were they? You said you did that assessment. Mm-hmm. To see the needs of the people. What did you come up with?
Well, here's a list of, you know, I got on this that sheet that I give you there. What I learned after the interviews, these are just kind of random things, but these are what we call themes. These are things that emerged more than once from conversations that I had with people. And as I say, some of these don't have much to do with anything, but a lot of them do. For example, number two, one reason we need to train locals for ministry, train nationals for ministry, is that nationals have a tendency to live there and expats have a tendency to leave. And you know what's happened in the St. John's congregation. There's been such a dramatic turnover in pastors and teachers' staff, and this bothers people. It's one reason that the congregation felt, too, that training nationals for ministry is a good thing. Number three is definitely the goal of the program to move. The way I've often put it is one of the goals of the program is to change or to move the congregation at St. John's Antigua, for example. Well, what we have right now is a church for Antiguans. It needs to become an Antiguan church. And those are two different things. Again, would be a way of putting it. I learned that the school has been an extremely effective mission arm. So anything we do that trains nationals for ministry has to involve training teachers.
Yeah.
And taking the teachers that we've got Yes, I also learned. And helping them improve their skills and continue their professional development. I learned also that there's a real desire for more training, but also more just general Bible knowledge, both in the congregation, but also in the community. Mm-hmm. And so the courses we opened up to the community, you know, a lot of people who were members of other churches or of none at all would come and take these classes. Yeah. And that too was kind of a neat thing.
Yeah.
I also learned that that opinions, and this was very useful to me, that that opinions were kind of divided on what this program should be for. Mm. Some people really had the vision that this should be for training us for ministry so we can really assert ourselves and become more independent.
Right.
And other people's idea was, well, this is just so we can have more Bible class. You know, and we can have harder Bible classes for people who are ready for a harder Bible class. And so it was good for me to know that that attitude was out there. So those would, I guess, would be some of the things.
Okay. So people wanted more Bible class and also wanted an institute that will train their local...
Well, you know, I'll mention one person from whom I heard this a lot. You know Suzette, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Suzette was one who would say, and she took some of the CCTI classes, she was one who would say, why does this have to go anywhere? Why can't I just take a class where I learn more about the Bible?
Yeah.
And I said, Suzette, there's absolutely no reason why you can't just take a class where you learn more about the Bible. God bless you.
Yeah.
If that's what you want to do.
She's an individual who is, you know, who wants to learn more about God, God's Word, and desire to learn more. So that's good. So in terms of the curriculum and the courses, how long did it take you to develop the course itself?
Well, let's see.
Or did you?
I got some dates on here. I started the needs assessment process, the initial phase. Took me about 3 months,
okay,
in just talking to people, and then I did some bunch of small group meetings after that to test some of the themes to see if those were really things on people's minds or not. That took about another 3 months, mm-hmm. So I had more or less a finished. Well, I shouldn't call it a finished product because curriculum, I believe, should never be a finished product. I think curriculum should be revising itself all the time.
Yeah.
But I presented a curriculum in December of 2004, and the needs assessment started in July of 2004. So to put this all together with the interviewing took about 6 months.
Okay, about 6 months.
Yeah.
And were you able to sit down and write the specific courses that... if someone were to come in fresh off the street, so it took about 6 months for you to do that.
Yeah, I didn't write all the courses during that period of time, but we did have the curriculum and the plan for everything start to finish. Mm-hmm. In theory, this takes a person, or could take a person, from Bible information class all the way through seminary graduation.
Oh.
The plan for that whole stretch is there. Mm-hmm. Not all those courses have been written, of course.
Uh-huh.
But... the curriculum breaks down as well. You've looked at the catalog, right? I'll send you electronically a catalog too. I don't have any more paper copies. I gave them all away. But it's broken down into three levels. The basic level we call deacon level.
Okay.
Yeah, level on top of that we call elder level,
mm-hmm.
And then seminary is everything. Or pastor level is everything after that.
Okay.
There are seven core deacon level courses. And then there are courses of in various areas of specialization that you can train for different forms of ministry, ministering, you know, youth or worship or whatever it is. And I started after that with the Law Gospel class. The way I developed the materials, I used heavily what's known as dialogue education. I don't know how familiar you are with that.
Not too familiar.
Okay. One of the first things I did after I got the call, I was still at MLC. I asked Professor Zarling, when we met with the seminary faculty, what's going on in adult education since I graduated, you know, from the seminary back at, you know, the day of Martin Chemnitz and those guys. And Zarling told me, read Jane Vella's books. So I did. I read Learning to Listen, Learning to Teach is one of her books. I learned Taking Learning to Task. And I learned, I read Malcolm Knowles is another author that I read. And I found out that there's just been a revolution in how to teach adults since I graduated. Yeah, things are completely different now and for the better. And I really became excited about dialogue education, that's Jane Vella's term, for this teaching approach. So I started using it in my classes at MLC. Mm-hmm. I used it in John's Gospel. I used it in Intro to Minority Cultures, and I did a little of it in Senior Hebrew.
Okay.
And I was just really impressed with how well this works.
Okay.
But I wasn't sure I was doing it right.
Yeah.
So there's a group called Global Learning Partners. Used to be known as Jubilee Institute, now it's Global Learning Partners, that teaches short courses on how to do this. So I took two of their classes, each runs for about a week, and I guess had my impressions confirmed about how effective this is. And so I used this approach in putting together the materials. And if you know something about dialogue education, that will help you understand why the CCTRE courses that I've done look the way that they do. There were materials in place before. Yeah. The old CCTI curriculum was basically the Congregation Evangelist Program, or now it's called the Congregation Assistant Program, the CAP. Mm-hmm. It was basically the same thing with some other courses added. Rather than use those CAP materials, I've reworked things. Now, if you use dialogue education, the work is in the preparation. You know, in the actual class, you as a teacher do relatively little. You basically, dialogue education is based on learning tasks, which you set for the students. You make sure they've got the resources they need to complete the task, but then you basically sit there, and you're there to help them if they need help, but they do the work.
Right, so they go home and do...
No, they do it right there.
Oh, they do it.
They do it right there, and then share what they've done with the whole group. For example, a learning task is basically an open question, meaning a question that does not have one right answer, that the group has the resources they need to respond to. Mm-hmm. So, for example, an open question might be, read this paragraph and then explain what you see happening here.
Okay.
So, others have used these materials, the question that I get from them most often, you know, I always try to, like Pastor Spiegelberg in St. Lucia, for instance, has used my Law Gospel class. And he'd call me on the phone sometimes, you know, for advice as he was going through this, and I guess everything went really well. But the question he had probably most often is the one most people have, which is, what's the right answer?
What is the right answer?
And the answer is, there is no right answer. Basic to this approach is the theory that if there's one right answer, you don't try to fish it out of them.
Yeah,
just tell them.
Just tell them,
But then make them do something with it to prove that they have it.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to teach this way, what you're doing during the class is relatively little, but what you have to do ahead of time is huge. The general rule of thumb is 3 to 5 hours of preparation time for every hour of class. Once you understand the topic, you know, if you don't understand your topic or your content, you got to do that first, and then you can. So this takes just a ton of time and a ton of work, but it's an approach that really proved itself to me.
Has been effective.
I think it's been extremely, and you can demonstrate that it's effective because people can do the tasks.
Yeah,
you know, they can do it. I've told this story a lot. In fact, I even posted it on the Global Learning Partners listserv. But you know Betty Livingston, right?
Betty Livingston, yeah.
Who is not necessarily the most academically inclined person in the world. I mean, Betty is a very gifted lady in other ways. But she said to me once, you know, Pastor, she said, when we have class, you make us do these things. And she said, I was thinking, he should do it, because he know. She says, but then I do it, and I say, well, I can do it too. And so, Betty gets it, you know? Not everybody gets it, but Betty gets it. Oh, I miss Betty, but anyway, Betty's great.
So you mentioned Betty, and what level of education does one need to have in order to begin a course? You know, was Betty's educational background sufficient to start to begin a CCTI program?
Yes, it was. We had people. This was another reason for the approach, by the way, and why I think the approach worked so well. We had people with master's degrees on down to people who hadn't completed primary school. And they can all work together, and it works very well. If you have a really hard time reading, that's something you kind of have to work around. Mm-hmm. But if you're designing the lessons ahead of time, it's good to know that there are people like that. But I had people in classes, especially when we would open up to the community. I had just the gamut. You know, I had people with very little education, who sometimes you have to make some allowances for, but they could participate very well, especially if you ask them questions that require them to apply their own, you know, not just their academic smarts and their previous experience and their own common sense. Yeah. You don't have to have a lot of education necessarily to be able to do that.
Right. Yeah. And so you mentioned you opened it to the community. Mm-hmm. Did you get a good response from the community? And
for some classes, I had more response from the community than I did from the congregation sometimes. Public speaking was an example of a class like that.
That's what I heard, yeah.
We had 21 people in there. You know, we had a waiting list for public speaking.
Really?
And that's, I have from time to time brought down guest instructors.
Okay.
Because they said, the committee said, from the get-go, we don't expect you to teach everything to everybody. And I said, well, that's good. Mm-hmm. I don't think that would serve people very well. Mm-hmm. So I had Professor Paulston come down from MLC to teach interpersonal communication. And we opened that up to the community, and that had a good response. I was hoping to bring him back to teach public speaking, but that turned out not to be practical. So I ended up teaching public speaking, even though that's not really, you know, my area of expertise, obviously. But the response was just overwhelming to that one. I think it's because so many Antiguans want to be able to speak publicly.
Yeah.
Because that's a cultural value. That's something people see the value in being able to do.
Voice their opinion and be able to do so distinctly and clearly.
That's right.
They have their opinion, so.
Exactly.
So, yeah. And what were some of the classes, would you say, that a lot of people didn't show interest in?
Well, one more first that they did, I was going to mention the teacher training classes. Mm-hmm. We have a good relationship with the Ministry of Education in Antigua, but the same is true in St. Lucia.
Oh.
And so our classes, you know Althea Lewis.
Yeah.
She works over there in the Ministry of Education. So she would always make sure people in the Ministry of Education were involved about what we were doing. And
in what way?
Well, we had flyers. She'd take them over there. And, for example, she would talk to her boss about classes like this. Mm-hmm. I went over there and met with them and explained what we were doing for teacher training, and they said, hallelujah, you know. So we had Dr. Wendler come from MLC to teach Psychology of Human Growth and Development, which is also a CCTI class for teachers.
Okay.
We opened that one up to the community. We got a good response for that one, too. Before Professor Paulston came to teach interpersonal communication, I heard from somebody in the Ministry of Education that they came to a meeting and flyers for our classes were on everybody's chair.
Oh, wow. So, must be Althea, huh?
It was either Althea or this other lady, Evelyn Werner, that she works with, that took interpersonal and really liked it. What were classes that were less well attended? One kind of surprise to me is the huge response to public speaking from the community and very little response from the congregation. From the congregation, so we had Nigel, but he takes everything. We had Linroy, but he takes everything. We had Maurice. He takes most things. From the congregation, I think that was about it.
Yeah. And would you say that's because in the congregation, maybe people, less income, low-level income people, and weren't able to afford the classes, or just didn't really Because I would expect a teacher should take almost all the classes. You know, they should take those classes that are available.
Yeah, I don't think it was economical. We did charge for CCTI classes, and I thought about this long and hard. Should we charge for this, and how much should we charge? Mm-hmm. We finally decided to charge because many people I talked who said people here are going to have no problem with that. As long as you don't set it too high, people are going to have no problem with that because they're used to paying for things.
Right.
There's also and Pastor Radloff and I talked about this a lot. He found the same thing in Grenada. Well, I guess the same thing is true all over, that you tend to value what you've had to pay something for.
Mm-hmm.
And some people will even charge, some pastors will even charge for classes or charge for counseling, and they'll tell you up front you get the money back at the end. But I just want you to invest that much to show that you're serious.
Mm-hmm.
But I never had anybody say that the fee was too much. In fact, Betty, again, I asked Betty, now what do you think about this? And she said, for one of the classes that was more expensive,
mm-hmm.
Because the summer ones where we had to bring somebody down, I charged more for
them. Right.
And she said, I thought at first, that's a lot. But then I thought, we charge $75 a week for aftercare.
Yeah.
And she says, well, of course, they get a snack. So I said, okay, Betty, I'll make sure you get a snack.
You got to feed them, yeah.
Well, and she was right. When she's right, when you're right, you're right.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was so much the money, because I know we had people come from the community who had very low incomes too. In fact, a couple of them, I remember, talked to me about it, and I said, yeah, we'll work something up. We always did. It was always fine. I think the problem that we had with both the teachers, which you mentioned, and also with a lot of the lay leadership in the congregation was, I'm in a position of ministry now. Mm-hmm. I'm doing this now, and I've been doing it for a long time. Why do I need more training?
Yeah. What did you say to him?
That was a hard one.
Yeah.
I suggested, well, would you like to do what you're doing better? I would say, maybe I should have been more direct about this. I don't know. Maybe I should have said, there are things that you learn in this class that you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I also tried to do was, I tried to lead by example in this respect, and I also stressed to my colleagues in the Caribbean as a whole that we need to lead by example. This is why, one of these seminars I went to, actually both, I was already in Antigua.
Okay.
And I went off to these seminars, and I did mention to persons on more than one occasion, I have two master's degrees and I think I still need to learn more.
Yeah.
I stressed with my colleagues there that I still believe in my position here, for example, it's an important thing, that continuing education for pastors is extremely important.
Okay.
That none of us should ever think of ourselves as a finished product.
Right.
And I told one of my colleagues in the Caribbean, or he asked me that whether his hunter safety certificate counts. You probably know who I'm talking about. I said, no, your hunter safety certificate does not count. But I don't know. This was something that maybe I should have grabbed people
and
sat them down and said, you need to do this.
Right, yeah. It'll benefit you. You can never stop learning. It's something that will always benefit you and benefit the... Maybe I should ask you, how do you think these courses or the CCTI will benefit those, or the Caribbean as a whole?
The whole region you're
talking about? The whole region and the islands in specific, and maybe the members of the leaders in the congregation. So how do you think it will benefit everyone?
Okay. I think we have people serving in positions of ministry in the St. John's. I'll get very specific to start with. I think we have people in ministry positions in the St. John's congregation that could be doing what they're doing a whole lot better. And I have no problem saying that to them either, and they know that. They know it better than I do. Yeah. So, I think that would be a very tangible benefit. The teachers in our school, and we have in our school some very gifted and extremely dedicated teachers, but I had some of them tell me they aren't real confident that in their abilities and that they know how to do what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they want to get better. And I said, that's great. You know, don't ever lose that attitude.
Yeah.
I mentioned before, Florence would be a good person mm-hmm. for you to talk.
Oh, yeah.
Florence took as many CCTI classes as she could, and she was a person who was there because she wanted to be,
mm-hmm.
and because she genuinely wanted to get better at what she was doing. So that would be a benefit. Other teachers, to be brutally honest, were there because they had to be, because the school board told them they had to be.
Right.
They weren't always real happy about that. But I think if you held a gun to their head, they would admit, too, that, we need to get better at this.
Exactly.
Those would be some benefits there. Leadership in the church, councilmen like that, for example. From some councilmen that I mentioned, Nigel, Maurice, Linroy, I had real good participation. Others would have been there more often, but they had availability issues, like Albert, for example. And I think they understood this, but one of the reasons that the Law Gospel class was one of the first classes I taught is that, as you know very well, dividing Law Gospel there,
it's
a challenge everywhere, but there, because of the influence of non-Lutheran Protestants so much, I've always felt, you correct me if I'm wrong, there's, in churches on the island, very strong tendency toward legalism.
Right, yep, that's correct. Yeah.
That being a Christian is a matter of keeping the rules.
Mm-hmm. Something I have to do.
Yeah, it's something I gotta do, right? And so, our leadership, I think, benefits from understanding of key fundamental principles like this, that being a Christian is not basically a matter of keeping the rules. Being a member of a church is not a matter of keeping the rules. Being a leader in a church is not a matter of enforcing the rules. If that's our main paradigm of ministry, we've got something wrong here. So I think a better understanding of that, and I know a better understanding of that, is going to help the congregation. We have leaders in St. John's Antigua who get it. There's no question that we do, but I think they can grow. I think everybody can grow. As far as the region goes as a whole, big picture issues, I guess, but I think the goal down the road, at least in my mind, is a West Indian Lutheran Synod. We could use that acronym. We could call it the WILS.
Oh,
The WILS. The WILS. We'd say, come to the WILS, instead of come to the WILS. Whether we decide to do that or not.
Yeah.
The vision, I guess, that a lot of us have, and I think the leaders, the national leaders have too, is a synod of churches on the islands in the West Indies in fellowship with Wells, with a completely collaborative, cooperative relationship, but that this church in the West Indies stands on its own 2 feet.
Yeah.
It administers itself, it makes its own decisions, it decides where to go next, it does its own outreach, it trains its own workers, and that's where CCTI comes in. The people who really get this are in Grenada.
Yeah.
Di Sylvester would be a good guy to talk about. Di Sylvester is 100% behind CCTI and mm-hmm. said, we need this. We have to have this, because down the road, this is our future.
Yeah. Has he taken Dice?
Yes.
Has he taken courses?
He has.
Yeah.
What I did in both Grenada and St. Lucia is, a couple times in St. Lucia, at least once in Grenada, is I went over there and I would preach for the guys and have a Bible class that was informative, for example, about what's going on with CCTI. And then I would take a course along and I would teach the first lesson. Mm-hmm. And then I would leave it in the hands of... in St. Lucia, either one of the two guys, or in Grenada, in the hands of Pastor Radloff and Pastor Hartman, Bob Hartman was there visiting the Radloffs and helping out with ministry there temporarily, but he was a tremendous help to the ministry there in Grenada while he was there. So then I'd leave the class, they would teach it to the people, I would record, you know, grades if there were any, or and find out how things had gone. And Grenada had just excellent participation. They had something like, if I'm remembering right, something like a dozen people do the class and finish.
Really? Wow.
I thought that was a lot.
And that's mainly from the congregation?
From the congregation, yeah, from the congregation. Right. And there you want to talk about a spectrum of academic levels. Mm-hmm. You know, you had some very educated people and some people with very, very little, and they all learned together, and it was great. In St. Lucia, we did law gospel class that way, and Eric Landwehr taught the youth ministry class that's in CCTI. He's the one who wrote that one. Okay. He came over to Antigua and taught it there, but I believe he's also taught it in St. Lucia. But he taught how to study the Bible, which is a deacon-level course, and I think he taught, I know he taught the worship one.
Okay. So then the leaders... Let's say Eric, for example, he was able to take one of the idea of the course and developed it himself that fit the people in St. Lucia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now someone, if maybe, I don't know, Radloff, you know, or someone else who will go there in the next couple of years wants to do that, they're able to do that, or the class is already laid out for them to follow.
In the case of the youth ministry class, Eric Landwehr was working on his master's in cross-cultural ministry at...
Lakeland?
No, it's in the Twin Cities. It'll come to me. Crown, I think.
Crown? Okay.
I believe it's at Crown. And so this was a project in his program. He developed this cross-cultural youth ministry class. And so he taught it live and that's where that course came from. Mm-hmm. The courses that I developed, that I passed along to other guys, I gave it to them on disc, and it was always with the understanding that now, if there are things here that don't fit your situation, you know, maybe a learning task is too hard for the people you've got, or maybe it's not hard enough, or maybe there's a cultural application that doesn't make any sense in your context, you know, feel free to change stuff like that.
Right.
I had no problem with that at all. And I think some of that kind of adapting went on, and I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. Good. So you mentioned overall, what do you see the future of the Caribbean? You mentioned part of that, but what else do you see of that? Could you add some more in terms of its own synod?
It's good to make predictions about the future, because then you can pull out this tape 10 years from now and see how completely wrong I was, how most of my ideas were really dumb, and what the Lord decided to do is something just absolutely completely different, and that'll be fine, obviously. But what I see happening also, I should have mentioned this, the fact that there's PSI here now on this campus, I think has had a big effect on CCTI's plans, especially for training guys at pastor level. Mm-hmm. That the plan now is, now we have a situation where a guy wouldn't have to do all his pastor level training, or if he wanted to do it all in the Caribbean, that would be fine.
Yeah.
But let's say he did deacon level in CCTI on one of the islands, did elder level there, he could do some of the seminary classes on site, or he could do the PSI pre-seminary classes on site, and then he could come here and do either a semester in Mequon or a full year at Mequon, depending on whether he had a bachelor's degree coming in. And he would finish his training that way. He would get some of the benefits of being here, you know, having more classmates, having a bigger faculty, all the advantages that you have if you're studying here. And to me, that would be kind of the best of both worlds. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd be trained on site without pulling the guy away from his family and his culture, but at the same time, you get the benefits of education here. This is the plan for Nigel, for example, who wants to be a pastor. And he'd be a good guy to talk to if you have him. that he's going to do the CCTI stuff, do the pre-seminary stuff on site, and the plan was he comes here. He already has a bachelor's degree, so he'd come here, do a semester, and then back to the region to serve. Yeah. That's what I'd like to see to continue to happen, and I really hope and have been assured that this will happen, that in my position here I can continue to help with stuff in the Caribbean, whether it's overseeing the program and helping to see that stuff happens on both ends that should happen, or going down to teach something once in a while. I mean,
are you still willing and able to do that?
I'm willing. I asked my boss here if, and he said both, and he said this before I accepted the call, which makes it very key. He said it both before and after, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the snag or potential snag is only that the work in the Caribbean is under the Board for Home Missions and I'm paid for by the Board for World Missions. But you know very well, the Caribbean is a world mission field.
It really is.
And everybody understands that. Yeah. So for me to continue to help out in the Caribbean, everybody agrees, only makes sense. So I hope they'll ask me, because I really would like to.
Yeah, they will.
Okay. When you get down
I'll see to it.
When you get down there, you make sense. Good.
It will happen, so.
You probably know also that Paul Workentine was called.
Paul
Workentine was called to be the new CCTI director.
Yeah, and who?
Well, they called Charlie Poppenfuss first, and he declined.
He declined it.
And they just called this past week Paul Workentine, who was pastor in Panama City, Florida.
Oh. Okay.
And he's, what, 3 years ahead of me in school or something like that, so I know. And I was in his circuit in the South Atlantic District when I was in Louisiana. So I know Paul pretty well. He's a great guy. He would be just absolutely fantastic. So I hope he accepts. I hope he's part of the future that we're talking about.
Right, too. And one that is capable of doing that work we are glad to have.
Yeah, well, he was in Thailand.
Oh.
So he's got...
Okay, so he has experience.
Cross-cultural ministry experience, world mission experience. No, I don't know. I've never been to Thailand. But I would imagine that Thais and West Indians are very different.
A little bit different. Language, food.
Language, yeah.
And tea, maybe, perhaps.
I get, well, they have elephants there.
They have elephants.
I know.
Okay, well, is there anything else that you would like to add to the interview that we've been having concerning the CCTI program, Caribbean Christian Training Institute?
I don't know if this belongs in the presentation anywhere, but just for maybe your benefit, if nobody else's, the fact that I was there for such a short time, you know, some people have assumed that meant, I don't know, I didn't like it there, or it didn't work out, that's just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it had nothing to do with it. When I was considering the call here, it was a no-brainer to come in just about every respect except, and I've been there such a short time. And the congregation's just been through, you know,
a
crummy situation, but also just a ton of turnover lately. Mm-hmm. And, can I really do this to these people?
Yeah.
that was the nature of the deliberation process for a while. But I sure hope, you know, nobody thinks that the fact that I was there for only 2 years means that I didn't very much enjoy ministry here. And don't think that it's important. Actually, I think it's just tremendously important.
Mm-hmm. And perhaps maybe it's just a lack of understanding of why you were there and maybe the future of the whole, you know, the whole the ministry as a whole. But I don't know. I didn't spend a lot of time down there. You know, I spent 3 weeks there this past summer. And, you know, so I didn't really get there.
Well, when I accepted it and announced the decision. You know, you always dread that when you're leaving, is to make an announcement like that. A lot of people from the congregation said, and people that I would not necessarily have expected. I mean, I expected a lot of, oh great, here we go again, we're losing another pastor.
Yeah.
And there, of course, was some of that. But some people that I would not have necessarily expected this from said, you know, as soon as we heard about that call, we said, this is an important thing that he needs to go and do.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah. So that made it a lot easier.
Yeah.
That made it a lot easier.
Yeah. Wow. That's good. Okay.
As long as they understand that, I still think they're an important thing too.
Right.
That also needs doing.
Yeah. And I'm sure they do.
I think so.
Okay. I think that's all I have for right now. If there's anything that I miss or I need you to straighten out, You know where to find me. I know where to find you. Yeah.
Great.
Could you send me, what's his name, Nigel's?
Nigel's email.
Yeah. At all? Do you?
I've got Nigel's. I got Williams.
He's gonna. Does he take CCTI too, or he's just mainly the administrator?
He has taken some CCTI classes. Okay. But Nigel takes everything.
Yeah.
He'd be a good guy to talk.
Albert.
I think I've got an email for Albert. I think I've still got an email for Carolyn. She'd be another one.
Okay,
Carolyn Martin.
Okay.
But I'll look at emails I've got from people who've participated, and I'll send you those.
Okay, yeah. So maybe I'll send them an email sometime this week and get some more ideas and some information from them.
The other thing William could do is, you know, especially if you have some questions in your mind that you'd like some teachers to answer, you know, as school administrator, he could pass those along to teachers.
Yeah.
You go down the hall and ask Lola, you know, what do you think about this or that?
Yeah.
I guarantee you'd get a killer quotation from Lola.
Yeah, I think so too.
And talk to your brother. You know, he's taking CCTI classes.
Did you talk to him when he was down there or recently?
Well, I say you should talk to him.
Oh, I should talk to him.
Oh, get his opinion, because he'd give it to you straight.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'd have something.
Yeah,
something profound to say. He's a profound man.
Something profound.
He's a thinker. He is a thinker.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. Oh, well, that's good to see. That's good to hear he took some classes. And it's always inspiring when you see a younger sibling making a step forward, especially doing something that is that will benefit the kingdom. So that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should I hit this button now or something?
Yeah.